It's hard to believe that the holiday season is rolling around already, right? Doesn't it feel like it was just summer yesterday? And now we're already well into November. And with that, we've got Thanksgiving dinner to start planning for, right? All that food we have to prepare, all the potlucks that we're going to have to cook for, all those pounds that we're going to gain. We've also got Christmas knocking on our doorstep, all the cards that we have to write, all the shopping that has to be done, all those finals that you have to take before you can go on break. Isn't it true that the holidays are the most stressful time of the year? Right? This morning and next week as well, I'd like us to think about this problem, stress and anxiety. Right? This stress can so easily overwhelm us during the holiday season. And I'd like us to see what Scripture teaches about anxiety, right, and how to cure this problem. And I'm sure we all have things in our lives that we stress about, don't we? So actually, if you notice, the text isn't printed in our bulletin anymore, so grab a Bible. And so we'll read our passage together. If you've got the NIV, please read aloud. We're trying to do this to encourage everyone to bring their own Bibles to church, if you can find one in the stand before you. So our text today is in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Everyone got it? If you got an NIV, please read aloud with me. All right. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come this morning to hear from your word, to hear from you, to know your word more deeply, to be moved and transformed by your word. Lord, help us to learn this well. Help us to leave our cares and our worries, all our stresses and anxieties at the door. Now, in this time of worship, as we come to your word, let us just listen and enjoy. Thank you, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I mentioned before, the holidays are full of seasonal stress. You know, but beyond that, it's just this culture we're living in, right? Now, here in America, although we're the richest nation in the world, right, we're also the most stressed. Now, according to the World Health Organization, America has higher rates of anxiety than any other country in the whole world, by far. It's estimated that 1 in 3 Americans will suffer from an anxiety problem in their lifetime. Now, needless to say, anxiety medications are overprescribed and easily obtained. And without them, a lot of people are literally nervous wrecks. Now, I have to admit, I'm also a pretty anxious person. I'm impatient by nature, and I worry about things that I can't even control. My family, my studies, my career, my future, right? I get stressed out, and I suspect I'm not alone here. So when Paul writes in Philippians 4, 6, do not be anxious about anything, I've got to just stop and think. Are you serious? Do not be anxious about anything? You've got to be kidding me, right? You don't know the stressfulness of my life right now. You don't know what I have to deal with every single day. You have no idea this crazy season that God is bringing our church through right now. Nothing is stable. Everything is changing. Do not be anxious about anything. Are you serious? You're being unrealistic. I mean, sure, Jesus can say, do not worry about what you will eat and wear. I mean, he could turn water into wine and multiply bread and fish, right? We can't do that. Right? We mere mortals have needs. We need to find jobs, right? We need to pay bills, to put food on the table. I mean, it's easy for Jesus to say, do not store up treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. I mean, he was only here for 3 years. Or actually, no, 33 years, but 3 years of his ministry, right? And then he went back home to live in his heavenly mansion where all these treasures were, right? But us, we have mortgages to pay, right? Loans to take care of. Right? We get sick. We need insurance. We need savings just in case. There's so much to stress over, to worry about, to be anxious for. Is Paul being unrealistic when he says, do not be anxious about anything? When Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians, he himself was in prison. Now, Paul, talk about a guy who lived a stressful life. Now, we didn't get to finish preaching through the book of Acts this summer, right? We were going through that series. But near the end of the book, right, Paul goes on these missionary trips, and he gets thrown in prison many times, beaten, stoned, and then finally accused of rebellion against the state, right? So being a Roman citizen, he appeals to Caesar and then sails for Rome, but he gets shipwrecked along the way, and then he gets bitten by a snake. And when he finally arrives, he gets imprisoned. And I'll talk about a guy who knows stress and anxiety inside and out. Paul's life was no cakewalk. He faced hardships and suffering that we here have no idea about. But somehow, he found a way to keep moving forward. Now, if you have your Bibles, which you all should, flip to Philippians 1, 12 to 14, and look at what he says here. He says in verse 12, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Paul, a man well acquainted with trials and suffering, didn't complain. He wasn't paralyzed by fear. What did he do? He looked at the bigger picture. His imprisonment was for the greater good. Now, one way to cure anxiety is to keep a heavenly, eternal perspective. Now, it's so tempting. It's too easy for us to just focus on our current situation, our needs, our wants, our suffering, our pain. Me, me, me. I, right? That's how the world teaches us to think. But if we can just stop for a second, step back, and look at things from a God's eye perspective, we might begin to see why God is putting us through all this. What does the Lord want me to learn through this experience? How does my present situation better serve Jesus and the church? Does this draw me closer to God or bring me further away from Him? God never promises us an easy, comfortable, stress-free life. He promises us a blessed life and a holy life. And holiness doesn't come easy. We must go through fire to be purified and sanctified. And blessings aren't always how we imagine them to be. Right? Sometimes God blesses us with trials and afflictions to strengthen our faith, to show us how small we are and how big God is, how we need to rely on Him daily. Do not be anxious about anything. Is this a realistic request? I don't know. But it sure helps to realize that oftentimes our anxiety, our stress, our worries comes from ourselves, not from God. We worry because we cling onto our lives, our plans, our stuff. We worry because giving those things over to God is unknown. It's scary. We worry because we don't trust, because we lack faith. Lord, increase our faith. Help us to keep an eternal perspective in every situation. So we've just looked at this diagnosis, right? We are all overly anxious people. We worry about everything and anything. We stress about things we can't even really control. That's human nature. That's who we are. That's me. That's you. So next, Paul gives us his prescription, right? How to fix this situation in the next part of our verse. Now take a look. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Paul's advice, the key to this whole passage today, the cure for anxiety is to pray. Now, there are two modifiers here, right? Two further instructions on how we are to pray. A when and a how. Okay? Now, just like when you get a prescription from a doctor, he doesn't just give you a whole bunch of pills, right? He tells you how and when to take them. Now, the first one, Paul says, pray in every situation. And second one, pray with thanksgiving. Now, let's think through these two in more detail. When do you pray? Is it a routine? After you wake up and before you go to sleep? Is it only during meals? Or is it whenever you feel like it? Paul tells us to pray in every situation. Surely that can't be right. Every situation, even the bad stuff, even the boring stuff. Right? God doesn't want to hear about my boring day. Nothing happened. God doesn't need to hear about that habitual sin again, does he? Do I really need to repent every time? God doesn't need to hear about my needs again. I mean, he already knows, right? He knows everything. But the thing is, if we think about prayer not as this grand show or this spiritual task, but simply as communication with our Heavenly Father, then why shouldn't God want to hear about your day? Why shouldn't God want to hear about your needs and your dependence on him? Now think about how you communicate with your parents. Can you talk to them about anything? You should be able to. As a teenager, I didn't talk much to my parents, right? Partly because of language differences and partly because I thought I already knew what they were going to say. Right? They were just going to nag me with the same old things, right? SATs and GPA, right? The only time I really spoke to my parents, right, back in high school, not now, back in high school, was when I wanted something, like when I needed money to go out with my friends. I'd knock on their door late at night, oftentimes when they were already asleep, and I'd ask them for the money, right, because I know they'd be groggy, right? My mom would just go get it from my purse, right? And I'd keep my conversations real short. Right? I'd try to be really vague about where I was going, who I was with. Right? I just wanted them to leave me alone. I just wanted the money. Is that a healthy relationship? Is that normal communication? But oftentimes, that's exactly how and when we pray, isn't it? Right? We don't have real conversations with God. We don't really want to hear from him, to know his heart. We just want the money, right? We just go to him when we want stuff. But that's not what Paul says, what he tells us, right? He says we are to pray in every situation. God wants to hear from you, and he wants you to hear him too. In every situation means all the time, even mundane, boring details. Now, I heard this quote, and it has to do with parenting because I'm kind of a parent now, so that's what I read, right? But I think it also applies to prayer, okay? Now, listen to this. Listen earnestly to anything your children want to tell you, no matter what. If you don't listen eagerly to the little stuff when they are little, they won't tell you the big stuff when they are big, because to them, all of it has been big stuff. God always listens to your prayers. To him, it is all big stuff. So prayer is supposed to be this constant communication with God, right? Daily, intimate, about anything and everything. That's when we pray. The second question is, how to pray? How do you pray? And Paul's verse is helpful to teach us about that as well. He says, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. How are we to pray? With thanksgiving. Now, what does it mean to be thankful? It means to acknowledge the source of something you've received, right? If God is the source of every good and perfect gift, we need to live lives, our entire lives, of thanksgiving. If we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? Right? Thanksgiving isn't just a single holiday out of the year. It's not about stuffing ourselves with food until we could barely move or camping out overnight for great deals. Thanksgiving is an attitude we ought to have every single time we pray in every situation. We thank God for what he's given us, and we ask him to provide for our needs. Again, if we're self-centered and self-focused, we tend to lose sight that God is the one who deserves all thanks. Or we tend to think that what we have, well, we tend to take what we have for granted. We start to think that everything we have is somehow we've earned it, right? It's what we deserve. But when's the last time you really stopped and thanked God? Thank God for your family. Do you know how many families out there are broken or separated? Thank God for your job. Do you know how many people out there are still unemployed? Thank God for your health. Do you know how many people are sick and suffering and would do anything to be well again? What other areas of your life have you taken for granted lately? Now take a moment and consider. Now, it's easy to thank God in the good times, but how about in your suffering, right? Suffering. Every situation includes suffering. Not everyone is in such a good position as us. Well, I believe most of us are doing pretty well, right? But Paul doesn't say, thank God when you're doing well, when you're being blessed, right? What does he say? Thank God in every situation, and that includes suffering. How can we thank God for our suffering? Again, it's by keeping an eternal perspective, by knowing and trusting that God has a purpose and a plan in this, that he is in control, that God has not abandoned you. Now, he may be using this to change you and form you into the person that he wants you to be. Thank God that he cares enough not to leave us alone. Right? Thank God that he is not finished with us yet. Perhaps God is bringing our church through this low period to build us up again so that we can truly see his hand at work and to bring us back to thanksgiving. Now, when we look at every situation like this with an eye for what God is doing, not just what's happening to me, to us, then we can be thankful in every situation. Then we can pray to him and petition him with boldness and gladness, knowing he is listening and he will answer. Then he will give us peace that transcends understanding. Now, in our two verses today, Paul has laid out a diagnosis. We are anxious people. We worry too much. He then gives us a prescription to pray in every situation with thanksgiving. Finally, he gives us the outcome or the result. What will happen if we take his advice? Now, verse 7 says, if you do this, if you follow doctor's orders, right, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, we all want peace of mind, peace of heart, don't we? Now, especially when we're feeling anxious or stressed, Paul says that if we pray with thanksgiving in every situation, peace will stand guard over our hearts and our minds. Now, back when Paul was writing this, the city of Philippi was a Roman colony, and there was a garrison of soldiers, right, stationed there. They were strong, they were organized, they were the strongest military force in the entire ancient world. Right? They were able to protect that city from any threats. Now, people living in this city would have seen these soldiers daily doing their drills, their training exercises, right? And this was a daily reminder that the city was protected. Peace standing guard over our hearts and minds means not having to worry. It means being protected by God. And this peace that God gives us is not as the world gives. It doesn't come and go. It isn't dependent upon our current circumstances. It is a peace that transcends understanding. It goes beyond. It is supernatural. Now, you know that type of person who's just so peaceful, it's hard to believe, right? Even in the midst of chaos and confusion, in the midst of great personal suffering, this person, they just have this cool confidence, a supernatural trust. Right? Do you know anybody like that? Right? It doesn't make sense. It's beyond comprehension. That person that you're thinking of, that's what it looks like to have the peace of God guarding your heart and mind. It's not that bad things never happen to you. It's that you have this deep, abiding trust that there is a higher power. Someone greater is in charge. And to have that assurance, we need to have daily communication with our general. We are at war, spiritual war. And God wants to know what's happening on the front lines. So we ought to pray and tell him what's going on in our hearts, our lives, our church. And God wants us to hear and obey his orders as well. So we ought to pray and listen and discern what he is doing. Prayer is a two-way communication. Paul says, if we do that, if we pray in every situation with thanksgiving, then we will have peace. We can stop worrying. Anxiety and prayer are polar opposites. The cure for anxiety is not to get what you want. It's to put your trust and faith in the Lord. Now, I admit, I do not pray as often as I ought to. And that's probably why I'm an anxious person. Prayer and peace, the two go hand in hand. And that has been my experience as well. As I reflect on my spiritual walk, I realize the times when I'm most anxious are the times when I'm not praying as often as I should. Right? When that daily communication with God is not there. When I'm not pouring out my heart to him openly and honestly. Those are the times when I'm most stressed and anxious in my life. But when I do pray often, when I do take time to thank God for everything he's given, both the good and the bad, both the blessings and the trials, those are the times when I'm most at peace. How has your prayer life been lately? Is it non-existent? A chore? A bore? Just another thing to check off your list at the end of the day? Don't pray because I tell you to pray. Don't pray because you're supposed to pray. Pray because you need to pray. The more you pray, the more you communicate with God, the more you'll realize you can't live without him. You'll realize that whatever stresses are going on in your life, things are going to be okay, no matter what. That God does listen and answer prayer. He will provide for your every need. And that should give you a great sense of peace, a peace which the world does not and cannot give. Now, I wanted to end today's message with a story about a man named Joseph Scriven, who I believe really embodies this, the message that, prayer is the key to curing anxiety. Joseph Scriven was born in 1819 and lived in Ireland. He had just completed his university education and had returned back to live at home with his parents in Dublin. He was engaged to his childhood love and was about to be married. On the day before their wedding, his fiancée was riding her horse alongside a river to meet him, but her horse was startled and she fell into the river head first into the rushing water. She was knocked unconscious and drowned only moments before Scriven arrived. Needless to say, he was emotionally shattered and devastated. Right? The only thing that kept him going was that he turned to God for consolation and guidance. But everywhere he looked, he couldn't help but be reminded of his fiancée and the wedding that they had looked forward to for so long. So he decided to leave Ireland, and in 1845, at the age of 25, he arrived in Ontario, Canada. Now Scriven, he settled down near the town of Port Hope on the shores of Lake Ontario. There he committed himself to the ideals of Christ's Sermon on the Mount, devoting himself to helping others in need. Every day he would walk the town helping those in need, the widows, the sick, and the poor. Now it was said that he never denied a request for help, and his greatest desire was to reflect the love of God through his life. Now he spent many years helping others, and he became known as the Good Samaritan of Port Hope. Eventually, Scriven fell in love again with a woman named Eliza Rosh. They were to be married in the spring of 1854. But only weeks before his wedding, tragedy struck again. Eliza fell ill with pneumonia, and despite Joseph's vigilant care, she died at the age of 23. And once again, Scriven was heartbroken by the death of a woman he loved, and once again, he found strength by turning to God, his closest friend. And the following year, he wrote a poem to his mother in Ireland. And these words describe this deep trust and intimacy through prayer with the Lord. And I'm going to read you this poem now. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms, he'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there. That, brothers and sisters, became the words to one of the most beloved hymns of the Christian faith. That's what it means to draw close to God in the midst of stress and troubles, to achieve a peace that transcends understanding, to be guarded, shielded from worries and fears. Do you want that type of relationship with God? Then pray. Pray to him. Call out to him in every situation. Because to him, it is all big stuff. He hears. He answers. Because he loves you, he loves me, and he loves this church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can draw close to you through prayer. Thank you so much that you speak to us and we can speak to you. We can communicate with you, Lord. And it is the greatest privilege, Lord, to pray to you, to speak to the Heavenly Father. And you will give us peace that transcends all understanding, peace in every stress and frustration and trial and trouble that's going on in our lives, in our church. Lord, you have promised us that you love us, that you take care of us, you continue to watch over us. Lord, let that truth give us great peace and boldness and confidence. We thank you, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.